much about.
You got to put it in perspective.
Well, I'm sorry to add to your miseries, but I do have three pieces of bad news. In what order do you want them?
Oh, start with the least painful and work your way up.
Okay, one.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
B.I.G.
And meanwhile, where's Kevin? Oh, guess what? He's dead.
Well, that's all well and good, but what does Diplo think?
Hey, Sam.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, this is just a movie.
Yeah. We're gonna beat your ass. You just get that through your stinking traitorous heads.
Excuse me, I apologize, and we have a lot of Christian affiliates. I am a Christian, but I will stomp your head in if you start a fight with me, you thug scum.
And now.
I apologize, we have a family audience. That was wrong, and I won't do it again.
Our feature presentation.
Wow. And then you can guess if he did it again or not.
Only 5 seconds later.
Yeah.
Look, I know he's a nut job. I love him.
Yeah, sure.
I love him.
Right. As a comedy performer.
Right.
As an entertainer.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'd love to know, we're talking about Alex Jones, Infowars.com. I'd love to know, and I think this about a lot of controversial performers, how much of it is real and how much of it is shtick.
Yeah.
How much does he believe of what comes out of his mouth and how much is just him knowing what works for his show and his audience?
I mean, he's talking about demons and stuff. I can't imagine he believes that. I think he says it, he knows right. who he's appealing to, and then mm-hmm. he goes home and just, with a smile, opens a check.
I don't know. I think to say things that outlandish, you have to believe a tiny bit of it. I think he's a bit wackadoodle.
A bit?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I can't get enough of him, but I'm telling you, I'm a little bit sad that he doesn't have Hillary Clinton to talk about every day, because that would have been a fantastic 4 years of Alex Jones.
Yeah.
Just railing about the sulfur smell and all the other stuff that he was into. You know what I mean?
I mean, do you think he's serious about something like that, for example? Smell of sulfur and demons
See, I don't know, and maybe that's why I keep going back, is I keep looking for clues as to how much of it is real and how much of it isn't. I mean, he did – what did he say? That the government put something in the water to make the frogs gay?
We all know that, right?
Oh, that's – oh, I didn't realize that
would be – Oh, yeah. That's
oh, I didn't
science.
Know that had been proved. Okay.
Sure. All right.
But he says stuff like that, you just go, well, okay, all right.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I love him, and we'll hear more of that tape later on the Internet Roundup, too. More of the great Alex Jones. So.
All right. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. This is Thursday, March 9th.
It is indeed, and I want to – I know we have a very, very busy show today, and but we do have to start with this. And this is it's a sort of a semi-local story because it happened at LAX yesterday. Ali, I'm sure you saw this. Kevin, you don't watch the news
because right.
you're a kid.
Right.
Hawaiian Airlines Flight 7, Allie, were you following this drama yesterday?
I was not.
It was leaving from Las Vegas and flying to Hawaii. And it ended up being diverted. It was a few miles past the California coast over the Pacific Ocean. And it ended up being turned back and landed at LAX because of a confrontation on board with a passenger.
Oof. What a surprise.
Now, you're going to be amazed when I tell you about the confrontation. I really do think you're going to be stunned when you find out what it was that caused the decision to turn that plane around.
It was Alex Jones.
It was.
Yep. Because when you think about this, you think about a fight breaking out, or you think about somebody threatening that they have a bomb, or they're going to shoot the pilot, or, you know, just something violent.
Right.
I would think.
Or maybe a health crisis.
Yeah, heart attack.
Yes,
sure.
Yeah,
heart
okay. sure. Like or somebody who's so drunk that the other passengers may be in danger, and the flight crew just doesn't have the time or the resources to keep that person away from everybody else.
Mm-hmm. Right.
This was a 66-year-old passenger who requested a blanket. He was told that the cost – and by the way, here's a shocking part of the story, Hawaiian Airlines. Shame on you. He was told that the cost of a blanket would be $12 for
really?
A blanket.
Was he buying it?
No. Well, I don't know. I shouldn't say no. I don't know. Maybe that's how Hawaiian Airlines works. Maybe they don't lend you a blanket. Maybe they only sell you a blanket. I don't know. Witnesses on the plane say that the man argued he should not have to pay for a blanket because it was so cold. He became upset, asked for the phone number to Hawaiian corporate headquarters to complain. According to the police, he then said, and are you guys sitting down for the shocking statement that came out of a 66-year-old man that made a plane turn around and land in LAX instead of Hawaii? The man said, "I'd like to take someone behind the woodshed for this."
They said, "We'll have 1945 get back to you."
That's not, "I'm going to bust through the cabin door and slit the pilot's throat over this." That's, "I'm going to take someone behind the woodshed." That's what your grandpa says to you.
Right.
That's not a thing. There is no woodshed.
It's not very threatening.
It's not. That's my point.
But I feel like with the airlines today, anything that's even remotely close to that.
Yeah.
Somebody said, "I don't even know what a woodshed is. Let's go back.
Google it."
Google woodshed. Does that look? Perhaps there's more to the story that has been reported, but I've read every article on it. I've listened to the interview with Hawaiian Airlines, and that was their description as well. It appears to be that was the comment. "I'd like to take someone behind the woodshed." Nope.
I mean,
if you're on that plane and you're a member of that flight crew,
right,
does that put panic up and down your spine?
Well, with the music, yes.
Yeah. He had this music with him.
Yeah, see, so I'm turning that plane around.
Do you take that threat seriously?
Does it have that music?
While there was no physical altercation, crew members refused service from that point, and the pilot, I don't know what that means, and the pilot made the decision to dump fuel. Now, remember, they were loaded up for Hawaii.
They're just past
California. They dumped fuel in order to land at LAX at 10:15. The man was escorted off the flight. "I thought it was ridiculous," said one passenger, Eileen Burstrom. "First of all, it cost them $12,000 to land here," which, by the way, is accurate. That's how much it costs.
I mean,
rethink that one.
Yeah, that's how much it cost Hawaiian Airlines to abort that flight and send off again.
Right,
that's $12,000. The blankets are $12 because they're doing this crap.
Yes, maybe
I'm
so.
I'm just going to count them with one word, woodshed.
You're right.
I mean, come
that's
on now.
Very dangerous.
After police. I promise I'll finish up here. After police and federal authorities took the man into the terminal, they determined he was not a threat and then released him without filing charges. He was able to fly to Hawaii later in the day on a different airline. So how's that for good decision-making, you guys?
Take you out behind the woodshed.
Yeah.
What's happening?
All right, Grampy. Right? I just give him a stiff drink and be like, "Sit back. Have a good flight."
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Now quit your silly moping. Pull your sorry self together and snap out of it.
We've got your tickets for Incubus and Jimmy Eat World playing the Hollywood Bowl and a chance to qualify to see them in New Orleans and stay with Bean, which is going to be very exciting.
So, you know, fine. You keep throwing in that stay with what? Bean thing. That is not part of the prize.
Oh, is it just breakfast with and then they leave?
Nope. I am uninvolved. I do hope the winners have a wonderful time.
But you live in New Orleans.
Right. But I don't think I'm a part. I don't think I'm a part of this deal. This is their own deal.
Agree to disagree. Yeah. It's all my paperwork right here.
Yeah, so. Read the fine print.
I don't know what to do. Dr. Drew's on the show today, like he is on Thursdays. Jim Rome is on the show, like he is on Thursdays. A brand new internet roundup. Was Bean's childhood nickname really Rocky? Is that possible?
I don't know why that's so fascinating to you guys. Lots of little kids have nicknames.
As an infant, and then it goes away. No.
No.
Okay.
No. Right.
And we're going to continue to talk April Foolishness. We have David Koechner, one of our comedians on the program today.
Nice.
Love him so much. So we'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 551.
By the way, Kevin mentioned we're going to talk to the great David Koechner next hour. He is part of an all-star lineup for this year's April Foolishness show, which is fast approaching.
Bless you.
Sorry.
Bless
you. Out of nowhere. I wasn't prepared.
Didn't come out of your nose?
No, came out of there, but...
No, oddly enough, it didn't.
Uh-huh.
Saturday, April 1st this year, the great Bill Burr is also on the bill. Angela Johnson, Jimmy Pardo, Adam Ray, Jonah Ray, Taylor Williamson. If you did not hear the announcement yesterday, I wanted to make sure our early listeners know that April Foolishness is happening, and tickets go on sale this Monday at noon at AXS.com, AXS.com. Get all the details at KROQ.com. Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hey, what's up, boys and girls, children of all ages?
You tell us.
Welcome to the center ring. Showbiz, right?
Right.
What would we do without it? Over there at season 24 of Dancing with the Stars, there's already some problems.
Uh-oh.
Some egos morphing into serious diva behavior.
Sweet. I bet it's not Mr. T. I bet he's a perfect gentleman.
Perfect. So far, he's been perfect. It's that Nancy Kerrigan. It's that freaking Nancy Kerrigan.
Bleh.
Sources are telling RadarOnline.com that she is insisting on choreographing her own routines.
Please let her.
Bossing the other contestants around. And complains she doesn't want to practice as long as everyone else has to.
This was a success.
That's why they hit her in the knee with that pipe, remember?
Yeah.
Because she deserved it. Yeah. She's awful.
She's a masshole, too, if that helps you out.
Wow.
Yeah.
And she's a terrible person for every reason, then.
Kevin, you may also not be surprised to hear that Nick Viall is not winning any popularity contests over there on the set, either.
What a surprise.
He's been acting like a douchebag and ordering people around and making demands.
Without
moving his jaw at all, because he's really upset about it.
I don't get a lot of douchebag vibe off of him. Just zero. Just he's a zero. He's a nothing. And but he's a douchebag as well.
And your doucheometer is
It's off.
It needs to be recalibrated.
All right. Not sure how to do that, but I will.
You take it into AMCO. They fix it.
Okay, good.
If the light goes off, they'll just check it for free.
It's great news.
It can't help coming off a show where 30 women were all scratching each other's eyes out to date you either. It's got to pump up his ego a little bit. Meaning contributing to his a-holery.
Right.
Remember Danielle Bregoli? Our buddy Danielle Bregoli?
Sure.
She's going to cash you outside.
Oh, sure.
How about that? Cash me outside. How about that?
Cash me outside. How about that?
That's right. This is going to come as a shock also.
She's getting a star on the Walk of Fame?
No.
She signed a new four-picture deal?
No. Police were called to her home in Boynton Beach, Florida.
Oh, she lives in Florida. What a surprise.
Yeah, she is a Florida girl. When apparently there was a big altercation and she was threatening physical harm to her mother, Barbara, after Barbara gave one of her daughter's friends the boot, made her leave the house. And that's when the chaos ensued and police had to be called because of the threats of violence and death and murder. But apparently the police showed up and the cooler heads prevailed and no actual physical harm came to Mom. But it's just a matter of time, right?
Was she threatening that violence inside the home or do you think maybe outside?
Catch me outside. How about that?
Okay.
Did you strain yourself there, reaching for that one?
I was very happy with it.
All right.
Explains so much. In case you forgot it, Danielle's segment on Dr. Phil was called, it was her mom who contacted Dr. Phil.
Right.
And the name of the subject was, I want to give up my car-stealing, knife-wielding, twerking 13-year-old daughter who tried to frame me for a crime.
Yeah, they talked all about back and forth about how they physically fight, throw things at each other. It's ugly. It's an ugly family.
Try to frame her for a crime.
I mean,
who would that be? Catch me outside. How about that?
Yeah. Allie, you'll be happy to know that NBC's second-to-last episode of This Is Us on Tuesday night picked up its largest audience yet.
Yeah, of course they did. William's funeral.
11 million total viewers for This Is Us.
Yeah.
It beat CBS's Bull for the first time.
I'm sorry?
You heard me. It finally beat CBS's juggernaut Bull.
Have you ever heard of a show named Bull?
Yes.
No.
He'll get you show, off. Right?
Excuse me.
Bull, he'll get
I'm
you
gonna
off.
I'm going to tune in.
You should.
All right.
Very different.
Yeah. It's Michael Weatherly in glasses.
That's the sound.
Wow. That's the pitch. Remember that guy you enjoyed on NCIS? Now he's wearing glasses. But he's back on CBS and he'll get you off. He's Bull.
Wow.
Bull.
No.
He's a if I know the show, he is a guy who picks juries. That's his talent, is he picks juries to help clients get off.
Huh.
She'd stop saying get off.
Become acquitted.
Thank you.
And all of Germany is a Twitter over the Golden Camera Awards. I don't know if you heard about this, but the international best film went to La La Land. That's when Ryan Gosling marched out on stage to accept the award, and he gave a speech, but he oddly dedicated the award to a pair of German comedians. Well, it turns out it was a fake Ryan Gosling, and the Golden Camera Awards were actually pranked by a pair of German comedians who set the whole thing up.
That's something else right there, man.
Is that
Have you seen the video?
No.
Not yet, no. The guy got away with it because the organizers agreed to several of his demands, including have him not walking the red carpet and surrounding him with security people and handlers at all times. That's how they kept this guy isolated enough that no one recognized that it was a fake Ryan Gosling.
That's pretty
I thought
great.
He looked a fair amount like him, didn't you, Ellie?
No. He was
really?
Like bloated if you're cross-eyed and maybe like one hand over one of your cross-eyes. Maybe. A little bit. But no. Just watch the video. It's pretty good. Because they zoom in on Nicole Kidman and her face is like, huh? What? Back to you.
Love it. And good news, Showtime has picked up a third season of the Paul Giamatti, Damian Lewis Wall Street drama Billions. This is before the second season really has gotten much underway, but it's such a brilliant show, and I'm so glad that they have agreed to season three. So we're going to get more of Axe. Bobby Axelrod taking
right?
on the AG there in New York City. It's just an outstanding show. Looking forward to more episodes. So good. So very, very good. Today's celebrity birthdays. Barbie! Barbie's 58 years old today. 58 years ago, the first Barbie was sold. How about that? And she's been entertaining girls for ever since.
She's a bitch.
And some boys, too. I don't need to be sexist.
I hear that because of all the new diverse Barbies, the new diverse Barbies, that Barbie's doing gangbusters business right now, like as popular as ever right now. You're selling a lot of them.
Yeah.
That was Beans. Fun fact.
30 Seconds to Mars drummer Shannon Leto is 47 years old today. Actor Oscar Isaac turns 38. Chingy!
Chingy!
Chingy! It's Chingy's birthday. Happy birthday, Chingy. He's 37. Britney Snow is 31. And rapper Bow Wow is 30. Remember when he was little Bow Wow?
Sure.
Oh, the Bow Wows grow up so fast, don't they? He's 30 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQLA at OC's Alternative Rock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey!
25 minutes till 7.
Hey, we'll talk sports with Jim Rohn later on this morning.
Yeah,
like
you will.
Thursday.
Yeah, you talk to me.
Also, Dr. Drew Pinsky's
Why would you want to talk to me, Bean? I don't understand.
I'm saying we're going to be talking to you, Jim,
not
later.
Not a good look, Bean.
Not until 8 o'clock. First, though, we announced on the Kevin Bean Show yesterday, and I'm so tickled and delighted. We are back for our ninth year for Kevin Bean's April Foolishness. It's going to be at the Shrine Auditorium, this time on April Fool's Day. And what a lineup, you guys.
Yes, I'm tickled. It's such a good lineup.
I'm delighted.
I'm tickled, and she's delighted.
True.
Look at old vaudeville team. I'm tickled.
She's delighted.
our friend Adam Ray is on the lineup. Jonah Ray is going to be doing the show for the first time ever this year. Taylor Williamson is going to be here. Jimmy Pardo, Angela Johnson, the great Bill Burr, of course. And one of our all-time favorites that we are pleased to welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show at this ridiculously early hour. Our friend David Koechner is on the phone, you guys.
Keck.
The Keck.
Good morning, gentle ones.
How are you?
I'm great.
You know, it's funny. We wanted to get you on the show to pump up tickets going on sale Monday at noon, and we said, oh, man, there's no way Koechner's going to be up at 6:30 in the morning. And Ralph says, he has 800 children. He's never sleeping.
We start over here at 6:20, gang. Wow. Got a big vat of beans and bacon going on the stove.
What, do you live around a campfire?
We're a campfire family. You didn't know that?
No, I didn't. No.
We're mobile.
So, David, people know you so much for so many things, and I'm sure you get run into all the time on the street, and you have no idea what movie or TV show they've seen you in. But stand-up, you go back a long way doing stand-up, too, right?
Only 6 years. I go back doing live for 30 years. So I started doing sketch and improv. But I would say also, you know, I've done live acts forever. Mm-hmm. So I go deep in, like you guys were referencing vaudeville earlier, I started in 1920.
That's
wow.
Right.
I remember that.
Wow.
I was an early radio star. And then television came along and ruined everything.
Yeah. Sure.
Right?
You were little Davy Kay, I think. You were little Davy Kay on the stage, weren't you?
Little Davy Kay.
I remember you in your straw boater and your cane, and you used to do that that dancing juggling act. It was very impressive.
Cane juggling.
For a kid.
Yeah, yeah. I also do a firewalk act now.
Oh,
sweet.
Great.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah,
I like
so
it.
I will be bringing most of the audience up on stage. And we're going to do a trust fall first.
I like it.
And then some firewalking.
I like it.
That sounds like a hell of a show.
Maybe we should position this near the end.
Here's the exciting part. I've just learned how to do it.
All right.
It's still fire running at this point, isn't it, Dave?
How difficult was you as a guy? You know, you did Saturday Night Live. You did so many things for so long. And like you mentioned, all the improv stuff. How tough was it for you to find a voice as a stand-up act?
Well, I think my kids gave me my voice. That's basically a lot of it. When you live in chaos all day long, you're like, oh, I guess I'll just do that. So a lot of screaming. It was pretty intact because I had been performing for so long. And so it kind of came naturally.
What's the difference between improv and standing on stage doing comedy?
Good question.
Other people?
Good question. Less people. Yes, just yeah. You. Yeah, I say it's you being in relationship with the audience as opposed to you being in relationship with another person on stage.
All right.
So I guess I would say that the audience is my scene partner. Thank you.
Bad scene.
Now walk across that bed, hot cold. No, I'm not doing it. I'm asking you to. All right, here we go.
Right, you've done it, David. You don't need to do it again.
Right. I'm shocked that, Ralph, that we have never had Mr. Kechner on April Foolishness. Why are we so lame? Why did we wait until now to invite him?
Well, he's a busy professional entertainer.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
He has other things going on?
And, David, we really do appreciate you helping us out with the show this year because it's for some great charities, and we're just we couldn't be any happier than we are to have you, sir.
Well, I'm already here, so I'm waiting for the audience to come in.
Oh, and, you're a tad early there, sir.
You're at the shrine now?
Yeah, I'm here at the shrine. I've got my fez on and my little motorcycle, and I'm ready to go.
Different kind of Shriner, Dave.
Like they're all set.
There's some miscommunication. We'll set up. We'll work it out.
It took a long time for me to convince the security guard that it is happening soon, but I am here.
Actually, April 1st is the actual date of the event.
Not going to fall for it.
Ralph mentioned the money that we raised for charity, and I saw in the press release from CBS Radio yesterday, and tell me if this seems possible, that in the previous 8 years that we've been doing the show, we've raised $1 million for our charities. Does that seem right to you guys?
Yes,
it does.
Or do
you think they just inflated that to make us look good?
No, it does. I've gone to some of the ceremonies where some of the people have used, like, for example, Fisher House. They have used the money that we've given them to build a house.
Unbelievable.
And it's amazing to be able to look at an actual building and say, wow, that's the comedians that do April Foolishness, and the people that buy the tickets paid for that house.
And that's $1 million after we've lined our own pockets.
Right.
Too. After we've just skimmed a little off the top, wet our beaks.
I mean, we get the first 40%.
Yeah, sure.
Fisher House and Cedars-Sinai NICU are the great charities that we're doing this year. The lineup includes Bill Burr, Angela Johnson, Jimmy Pardo, Adam Ray, Jonah Ray, Taylor Williamson, and our guest on the phone right now, Dave Kechner. The tickets are going on sale Monday at noon, by the way, through access.com. Tickets start. Listen to this, David. You're out there on the road. You know what comedy costs. Can you believe that you can buy tickets for this show for as low as $25?
Well, $25 will not get you a ticket to Firewalk.
I mean, that is...
No, it's an extra cost. Yeah.
That's an add-on. Sure.
Yeah, that's an add-on. It's upgrades all the way, gang.
So we got a whole bunch of different ticket prices. And then, Kevin, why don't you explain the Big Lee section for people who want to really splurge and make a night of it.
Well, this is you get seats up front. You get VIP parking. You get a one-hour party with the Kevin and Bean Show before where you can get all good and liquored up so that you can walk on fire. And you get a Big Lee section T-shirt as well. And those are $99, and those are the most expensive tickets that you can get.
Yeah, that's a That's a great deal. So we're super psyched, David. We can't wait to see you on the first, man.
Well, it's going to be fun. I'm going to bring my sledgehammer and my fruit.
Oh, excellent.
And, if you're sitting up front of the big league, you're going to get pounded.
I'm glad you haven't retired the watermelon portion of the act. It's always been my favorite. All right, ladies and gentlemen, there he is, the great David Koechner. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dave.
Bye now. 6.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, L-A-N-O-C's alternative rock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:55.
Woo!
Little Bush this morning, little Marilyn Manson, 1975. It's good stuff, you guys.
Right?
Liking it.
Remember when Marilyn Manson thought Ralph was a fed, a cop?
I'll never forget it.
That was the best. Some things make you paranoid. I don't know what it could have been that made Marilyn paranoid, but he seemed awful energetic.
Is that guy a cop?
Just before he did
Ralph
his show.
Ralph does have cop hair, though, you guys.
Yeah, he sort of does.
Don't you think?
I think. Plus, he was that cop in New York for a while.
Right.
That's right. Was on the NYPD Blue, right?
I was for a while, yeah.
Hey, it's 6:56 Thursday morning. Time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
I love the Paley Fest.
Yes.
Paley Fest is that amazing couple of weeks where the Paley Center for Media, formerly known as the Museum of Television and Radio, they put together a series of evenings with some of your favorite television programs. Goes from March 17th through the 26th at the Dolby Theater at Hollywood and Highland. And it's an amazing lineup of television shows. And then you get to meet the cast and creators of these shows and talk about how those shows were put together, the history of the shows, where they're at now, what's coming up. And if you're a TV fan like myself, it really is a great evening. And we've got tickets we've been giving away for Paley Fest 2017 all week long. Today is no different. Tonight... the show on March 19th, today's show, is ABC's Grey's Anatomy.
Yay!
Which is going into its 14th season, by the way, this year. 14 seasons. It's been around for a long time, and it's still wildly popular. And I know there's a lot of Grey's fans out there. If you'd like to spend an evening with the cast and creators of Grey's Anatomy, I'm going to ask you a trivia question, and the first person through with the correct answer at 1-800-520-1067 we'll get a pair of tickets to Paley Fest 17 and their evening with Grey's Anatomy. Let's keep it simple. You're Grey's fans, this should be easy for you. The city that the show takes place in, of course, is Seattle.
Seattle!
That is true.
Good job,
yes.
Kevin.
Real city, yeah. Real city, but fictional hospital. What's the name of the fictional hospital where the characters of Grey's Anatomy live, laugh, and love? And also do some work sometimes.
Sure.
Some medical work.
Call
us
now.
1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. Speaking of television, American Pickers, right?
Oh, jeez.
American Pickers, stay away from me.
That's my policy.
Frank! Frank and Mike.
Nope.
Come on. You don't love American Pickers?
Nope.
I don't think I've seen it,
nor
do I have any interest.
You've never seen American Pickers?
Nor do I have interest.
Mike and Frank make their way about these great United States of ours, and they stop by people's farmhouses and garages and warehouses, and they go through stuff that you think is trash, and they find treasures.
Every single show like this you love.
Because
people bring
it's
their
great
crap,
and then crap.
It's crap. It's 99% crap.
And Mike and Frank, by the way, you don't bring it to them. They go to you, and they sift through
that is
your
convenient.
Stuff.
It's very different.
Yeah.
And they come up with amazing stuff, and then big money is made.
Nope.
What is wrong with you? Not to mention the history behind these things when they find them.
Wow.
Old oil cans to old advertising pieces, cars, trucks, pop culture, ephemera. Kevin, you've turned away.
I'm not even listening. You're not talking about anything that interests me.
Anyway, here's the good news. American Pickers are coming to California.
All right.
And so producers of the show are looking for folks who have collections. You got an old storehouse full of stuff. You got a garage. You got a warehouse full of garbage that you want them to come through and pick and find cool stuff. Then go to... You can call them at 1-855-OLD-RUST.
No.
1-855-OLD-RUST. You can reach out to the American Pickers, or you can email them at AmericanPickers@Cineflix.com. That's CINEFLIX.com. Now keep in mind, no stores, no malls, no flea markets, no museums, no auctions, no businesses, or anything open to the public, please.
Huh.
So just a musty garage.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay.
Sounds great.
They find gold.
And then the one guy always says, yep.
No, that's a different show.
Yep.
This is American Pickers, right? And Mike and Frank.
Which one says yep, Mike?
Yep.
Neither of them.
Okay. A little bit, though.
Can you stop doing that?
I figure that's your cue to move on to the next story.
But it's not.
So you'll hear it.
I go
it's
my
your
own way.
Sound effect.
Yes, exactly.
I figured you'd hear it and just automatically go to the next story.
Did you think that?
Well, that's how I work.
I know. You're trained with biscuits on top of your nose. But I'm a human being who knows things.
Biscuits on his nose.
You're saying they do that to a dog and put a biscuit on the nose? Stay. Okay, go get it. Eat it. Did we lose Bean? Is Bean dead?
No,
I'm here.
Oh, okay.
He's just bored as well.
I'm just
wondering if anyone's still listening. Like
today's celebrity birthdays.
Hey, you have a winner if you want it.
Yeah, I want the winner.
Okay.
Now, this surprises me. I thought a lady would answer this trivia question, but I guess I was
so
wrong.
So sexist.
Michael?
Yeah?
Michael, what fictional hospital does Grey's Anatomy take place in?
Gray Sloan Memorial.
Gray Sloan Memorial. You're absolutely right. Hold on. We're going to give you all the details.
All right, thank you.
You're going to spend an evening with the cast and creators of Grey's Anatomy. Hold on, Michael.
This was a success.
Yep.
Today's celebrity birthday.
Yep.
30 Seconds to Mars drummer Shannon Leto is 47 years old today. Oscar Isaac, very talented actor, is 38. Chingy celebrates his 37th birthday. Brittany Snow is 31. And rapper Bow Wow celebrates his 30th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, keep listening for lots of reasons, not the least of which is more tickets for you to see Jimmy Eat World opening up for Incubus. Actually, you know, I shouldn't have said that because I think it is a dual headlining tour that they're doing this year. And they're going to be playing the Hollywood Bowl this summer, and you also get a chance to see them in New Orleans. It's destination number 6 at the K-Rock Wheels Up 2017 tour, so keep on listening for your chance to win. Right now, though, it's time for a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup. Hit it, Steve.
Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Laugh so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
Our producer, Dave, the King of Mexico, in studio with us. Hey, Dave.
Hi, guys. How are you?
It's a good batch, by the way, including, of course, the Deadpool 2 trailer. That is it's really more of a teaser than a trailer, but it is awesome and hilarious, and you definitely have to see that, and that's up in the Internet Roundup. And there's some crazy videos this week. Like, what's going on with the old lady dancing her ass off in the parking lot
at the
Waffle House? What's happening there?
She is enjoying life.
Too much waffles? It. I don't know.
I love her so much.
And it's hilarious because the people inside the restaurant are shooting it, so it's in the parking lot outside, and you can't hear the music, but you just see her getting down.
There is no music.
There may not
she
be
really dancing. Yeah. It may be in her head.
Yeah.
And Allie, what did you think about your sweet Adele in her video in the Roundup this week?
She's the best.
She was getting attacked by mosquitoes.
Yes. Listen.
On stage.
Nobody likes mosquitoes.
Right.
But if anyone's going to handle it with grace and aplomb, it's going to be my Adele.
Did she name it like Bean does and help it outside?
Can you imagine?
No, not mosquitoes.
Not mosquitoes.
It's okay to
draw
the line
there. Okay.
I do, yes.
All right.
And one other one I want to mention. I wish there were audio on this, but please watch this. If you ever have thought about how you want to propose to your lady, you have to watch this guy who decided to do it on a helicopter tour. Was it a helicopter or a plane?
No, a little plane.
It's a plane.
Plane. And they're doing a sightseeing tour, and he proposes to her, and 1 second after he hands her the ring, he can't stop vomiting.
Yeah.
1 second after.
Here's the timing. Will you marry me? Yak. That's it. Yak. It's like a machine gun of yak.
It's fake. Amazing.
Fake. So needless
to say. Fake?
It is not fake.
Dave's saying fake.
Why are you saying that, Dave?
Oh, look. Let's look for the sign. Oh, okay, we're going down now. They never found the sign. There was no sign.
What are you talking about?
I 100% believe that video is real.
I've thrown up on a helicopter before. I believe it.
100%. Anyway, watch the video. Check out for yourself. All right, here's something that we have some audio for you. The one of the big movies in America right now is called Get Out. Our friend Jordan Peele made that tremendous movie. And I know from the people here at the radio station who have seen it, it's everybody's favorite movie of 2017 so far, right?
Yep.
Well, as terrifying as that movie is, as the black guy goes to visit the exclusively mostly all-white family and friends party and realizes that dangerous things are afoot. Imagine if it were set in the White House and you were trying to date Ivanka Trump. That's what Get Out of the White House is all about, and it's pretty good.
My father is unimpeachable.
I am the least racist person that you have ever met. Don't be afraid.
I would love to meet with the Black Caucus. I love this guy.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they're not a kinky sex family, dog.
If Ivanka weren't my daughter, perhaps I'd be dating her.
You know? Stop it! Oh, it's so weird!
So look, I go do my research. Apparently, a whole bunch of brothers been missing in this suburb.
Couldn't see no brother around here. Missing your grave. Yo! We gotta go.
No.
If there's too many white people, I get nervous.
I think what Ivanka's trying to say, who cares? Who cares?
That's so well done. By the way, it's a great video. Even if you haven't seen the movie, you
Agreed.
Should watch Get Out of it. But if you have seen the movie, I imagine it's 100 times better, right?
Yep.
There's a series called Kids React To, and they also do Old People React To. And this is fascinating because I would have never predicted this reaction that they – how old do you think these kids are, Dave?
They range from 6 to 13.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they introduce them to things, and sometimes it's old technology, and they try to figure out how to use a VCR or something like that. And in this case, it's music. They introduce these kids to Guns N' Roses, and the look on the little girl's face when she is told that their first album came out in 1987, which to her is like that's when the Civil War was. That's how long ago that was. But they have a bunch of different reactions to hearing this music. Some of them, for the first time ever, are hearing music like this. But here's kids react to Guns N' Roses.
This is just too loud.
What? It said bleed. But like, so not cool.
Wow, this is my new favorite band. Hurry up, give me the new one.
I've heard this.
Oh, I love this song!
That guitarist is really good.
It's okay. Not the best.
It's loud. Very loud.
It's just a lot of people saying, ah!
That was mind-blowing.
These guys are good.
And why is he wearing a top hat?
They look mean.
They look awesome.
They look weird, but that's because I'm young.
I like Axel. I don't like Slash. Slash has a cigarette. That's not good for you, bro.
The hair, they really look like they're girls.
They're only posing like they're cool, but not to me.
Oh, my God, I love them.
Aren't they awesome?
They're awesome. That
cigarette is not good for you, bro. This is why classic rock will never die, by the way, is because some music just gets passed down generation to generation. I feel like, and I could be wrong, but in 50 years, people will still be listening to Guns N' Roses.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. 100 years? Yeah. All right, and one more.
I mean, not all their songs.
Yeah, right. Yeah, some will survive. And this is one of my favorites. We were talking about this earlier today. The great Alex Jones, who's the conspiracy theorist. He's a radio, TV, internet host for Infowars.com. He is... How should we say this? His broadcast is sometimes volatile.
Right.
In that he blows up and screams at people and threatens people, but then he catches himself and apologizes and says he's not going to do it anymore. And it's very fascinating to see him go back and forth, sometimes in the course of one paragraph, between rage and apology. And the folks over at Vice put together a great video of Alex Jones. This is called The Master of Self-Control.
We're going to beat your ass! You just get that through your stinking traitorous heads! Excuse me, I apologize. We have a lot of Christian affiliates. I am a Christian. But I will stomp your head in if you start a fight with me, you thug scum! Anyways, excuse me, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not controlling myself right now. She is a demon damned to hell! We're not going to have Pepsi with baby flavoring in it! I mean, what the hell have we become? Excuse me! I'm sorry. You dishonorable, cowardly pieces of garbage. Excuse me. Coming for you! Coming for you! Excuse me. They're going to burn in hell! There's an attack on the species by a guild of psychopaths, and they must be defeated.
Yeah, people believe him.
Yeah, well, that's scary.
Yeah.
First of all, he's one of the few out there speaking the truth.
He's a
second
nut.
Of all,
he's a 100%
out
nut
of
job.
His mind, and there is a very specific percentage of the population that believes every word he's saying.
So fine. So you want to live in a world where you have Pepsi without baby flavoring? That's the world you
want
to live in.
That's what I want: baby flavoring Pepsi.
Right?
So sweet. Right?
See this video. See all the videos at KRock.com or KevinDeBean.com. It's a brand new Kevin DeBean Internet Roundup.
Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
I am Blue.
I've never seen Ralph so outraged by what to me sounds like a pretty good idea before.
You're insane. And this is madness.
I'm just not going to go. It's not for me. It's for families
it's
who have kids.
Anyone.
It's families who have little kids, but they'd like to go to the movies. It doesn't hurt you. It's not like they're taking away other movie theaters.
It does hurt me because it's a training ground for indulgence. It's a bad decision. You are training these kids at an early age to pay no goddamn attention to what's happening.
Or to behave appropriately based on the venue where they are. All right, we should back up one step. Cinepolis, is that the name of the company? Cinepolis?
Yes.
Cinepolis? They are one of the biggest movie companies in the world. They own a chain of movie theaters throughout Latin America. And they've been doing this for years down there to great success. And now they are bringing it to two Southern California locations. They are going to have movie theaters with playgrounds for children. Now, I know that sounds like a nightmare, and it is if you don't want to be there. That's why you just don't go.
Now, are the playgrounds for the children in the actual movie theater?
Yes.
Where you're watching the movie?
Yes, mm-hmm. Kevin. Yes. Hmm.
So that
you know a movie theater where you go to watch a movie?
Right.
Well, also, there'll be a jungle gym hanging over your head where kids can be jumping around and swinging from.
It's not like outside in the hall?
Nope.
Right in there with you.
Yeah.
It's so
right
you can
there.
Keep So you can keep an eye on your little kids while you watch the movie.
Here's an idea. Take your kids to a goddamn park where there's a jungle gym then, if that's what they want to do.
But how do I watch a movie at the same time?
Oh, sorry.
Boom.
Sorry, parents.
Boom.
You don't, you self-indulgent pricks.
Here's a little bit of Channel 5, I think, KTLA, talking about this story yesterday.
Rambunctious or crying children at movie theaters could ruin your enjoyment of seeing a film. By the theater chain in Mexico, well, they're making special auditoriums just for kids. The company says it hopes the kid-friendly theaters will make parents feel at ease about bringing their kids to the movies.
Kidding me?
Only G-rated movies. Only G-rated movies are going to play in these special auditoriums. They're going up in Pico Rivera and San Diego. I feel like it's more of like a...
Yeah, so you're going to pay $15... They go see Finding Dory.
No, but you're
and
not
then
really
they're
going to
play the whole time.
Yeah.
What's the goddamn point?
I could see a point if it was a movie the adults wanted to see.
Exactly, Allie.
But this doesn't make any sense now that I hear it.
Because you know what you're doing? You're training these kids not to pay attention to something.
Yeah.
As if they don't have that goddamn problem already. You are telling them you don't have to focus. If you want to watch a little bit, then run off and play on the swings and then come back and pay a little bit more of attention, that's okay with me. That's no way to raise a child.
Does it make a difference to you if the playground is closed during the movie?
But it's
not. The playground is closed.
Where are you getting that from?
Is it closed during the movie?
I am being told by girl on the button, Casey, who says that they close the playground part once the movie starts. The idea is to wear the kids out beforehand. That's what she's heard.
What? That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Just drug them.
It seems like a weird investment that cost $500,000 to retrofit a theater if the purpose is only to have them play for 10 minutes during the preview.
Doesn't make any sense because, look, the quote is from this guy, you might actually get more parents to come and bring the kids. Even in during the greatest movies, the kids get restless and bored. So it sounds like it's there for them to climb on during the movie.
I mean, that makes more sense to me. I'm just passing along what she said. Look, it doesn't bother me because this theater's not for me. Just like those screenings that they have in lots of multiplexes where they encourage you to bring your babies Wednesdays at noon or something. They have a screening for little kids. That's not for me either.
That's different because that is for mothers who want to see a movie with other mothers who have kids in strollers and crying babies and stuff. But they're mm-hmm. going to watch a grown-up movie, but they get to be in a place where the kids make noise and no one complains.
That's what I thought this was.
No, this is supposed to be for kids' movies, but they're running around, jumping around while they're supposed to be watching the movie.
I don't like it, Ralph.
And Bean, I know you can wash your hands and say, well, I just won't go. But you're grooming an entire generation with this mentality that will lead to a horrific end result for people in general. And if you don't give a rat's ass about people, and I think that's very likely, then we're just going to have to agree to disagree on this one.
I very much care. I very much care about it.
I know. You're all about people.
Yeah, I really am. Especially about little kids. That's really where
sure.
I...
Sure.
That's
your
really
specialty.
The focus of my life.
Right.
Now, is this a surprise to you, and I almost said a success, is this a surprise to you that this has been apparently wildly popular for multiple years in Latin America?
Not. Because people are lazy and indulgent, and they want everything. And you can't have that. Look, if your kid's not ready to sit down and watch a movie, then you don't take them to the movies. If they don't have the wherewithal and the focus to watch Finding Dory, then wait until they've matured to that point. You don't have to do everything. They can go play in the park or they can watch a movie when they're ready. But to combine the two is just sending a mixed message saying you can do whatever you like to do whenever you want to do it, that there's no necessity for you to have to pay attention.
Because 10 years from now when they're 16 and they're actually seeing a movie, they're not going to be sitting still and being quiet
because right, they won't have learned that a movie theater is quiet.
So your job as a parent is to groom and train them to function as regular people. And so in order to do that, you have to teach them how to behave in a restaurant. They have to sit at the table. They have to eat their food. They can't run around and throw bread and climb on the staircases.
I mean, you can throw bread.
No, you can't.
That's well, just you, Kevin.
Your job is to raise decent people. And part of that is comes with a certain amount of discipline. And I'm not talking about spanking them. I'm talking about teaching them the rules that they need to have to be a successful adult. And part of that is focus and attention.
So if other families in Southern California, if they decide they want to take their kids to this theater when it opens up, you would fault them for that decision.
Absolutely.
You would say that it's bad parenting.
What is the point of that decision? Is it, well, my kid isn't mature enough to sit through a movie, so I'm going to take him to a place where he can climb on jungle gyms while the movie is playing. What is the where's the good in that? What's the upside for that kid?
You just say, don't take that kid to the movie yet.
Don't take, he's not ready to sit down and watch a movie. I get that. My kid was late to be able to sit down and appreciate a movie, so he didn't go to movies. And now she knows how to behave in a theater, and she loves it, and she's zoned in and fixated, and she can really pay attention when she watches a film. But if your kid's not ready and you're going to take him someplace where they can half-ass it, I don't understand the upside. They don't get to really enjoy the movie, and they're probably not enjoying climbing on the jungle gym as much as they would in a park outside or something.
I don't know. Movies are pretty long. I mean, why not 5 minutes of the movie, then 5 minutes of Jungle Gyms, you know?
I could use a bouncy house at some movies.
See, because then you get a world full of Kevins. That's what happens.
I am feeling very hopeful that we will have new Foo Fighters music this year.
Oh, that'd be
Seems
so
like
good.
All indications are that that is going to be happening. So that's going to make 2017 so much better. Hey, something else that's going to make 2017 awesome is coming up very soon, Saturday, April 1st at the Shrine Auditorium. We are back for another edition of Kevin and Bean's April Foolish.
I see what you're doing, April 1st. I get it.
No, it's for real. It really is really happening.
That.
Yeah, this is the ninth year in a row we put on this show. Bill Burr is going to be playing for us this year. The great David Koechner, Jimmy Pardo, Adam Ray, Jonah Ray, Taylor Williamson, who, by the way, is going to be a guest with us on the Kevin and Bean Show tomorrow.
What day is this?
This is going to be Saturday, April the 1st.
Oh.
Angela Johnson on the bill. Tickets are going on sale Monday at noon at AXS.com. Proceeds benefiting Fisher House and Cedar Sinai NICU. Tickets as low as $25, by the way. And then the top ticket, the Big Lee section, as we make America funny again, is just $99. That includes all sorts of perks, including great upfront seating. You get a T-shirt. You get a party with the Kevin and Bean Show.
Well, you
I think
are
VIP
a sneaky,
parking.
Sneaky bastard.
It's all real, Kevin.
Right.
I don't think now is the time to question whether this show is happening.
April Fools. I
April
get it.
1st at the Shrine.
Right,
get the details at KRock.com.
All right, let's talk about Bean. Yesterday we found out that Bean's parents gave him a nickname when he was a baby. Now, I don't know that I've heard of this. Usually you call your baby by your baby's name for the most part.
And the fact that it was a nickname that was just very specific to that time. It was right when he was born, and then it kind of went away within, a year?
I mean, I don't know. I called I did call the chief yesterday
because
I wanted to get some deep background on how I was at one time known as Rocky. He didn't answer and didn't call me back. So. But the story that I have been told is that we broke this down on the air yesterday. I think we determined it's because my face must have been pretty smushed in, but there were those around me.
So it was Rocky Marciano?
Yes, the famous boxer, yes. So there were those around me who thought, I guess, somebody came up with, hey, that kid looks like the popular boxer, Rocky Marciano. So they called me Rocky for a short time.
That guy's face has been beat up.
Yeah, that is a jacked up baby.
So apparently that's what my
that baby needs
was.
A cut man
for a while. But then, see, this is why I don't understand the fascination, because like a lot of things on this show, you say something and it's funny for a few weeks,
right.
And then you forget about it, you move on, you go on to something else. And that's what happened in this case. It was not a thing. It's not a thing that stuck around. It was just a temporary nickname is all.
Did you have someone throw in the towel at some point?
Yeah.
He's taken enough punishment. Let's call it off.
I don't believe there was a fight. I don't think there was. I had an opponent. Mm. I don't think I was in a ring. I think I was just a little baby who probably, you know, had a difficult birth, and it showed on my face.
When you were nursing, did you do that thing where you hit the
hit the fun bags?
I don't believe so, Alan. So that's it. That's the whole story. There's nothing more that can be said on this topic.
Let's find out, because we do have the tube of history.
Oh, no. What are you talking
about?
So
we can actually talk to Rocky Baxter.
Oh, come on.
I love it.
How about that?
What kind of weird tube of history are you walking through?
Right? Tube of history? Really? So we're going to talk to me as a baby.
Hello, we're looking for Rocky.
Hey, how you doing? Hey, can I ask you a question? Why was the phone ringing when you're going through the tube of history?
Oh, do we not use the phone?
No.
Oh, I didn't realize that. I'm sorry.
Maybe they should call you dummy.
Okay. All right. I'll allow that. That makes a lot of sense. I'm sorry,
how
Rocky.
How you doing, guys? So, I'm just a baby, you know? But still, I know more than you do about radio.
Apparently that is true. Most people know more than we do about radio.
Goo, goo, ga, ga, okay?
All right.
Hey.
So, you're called Rocky, huh?
Yeah, I'm Rocky Baxter because my face is a mess.
Right.
It's all swollen and beat up, you know? And also, when I breastfeed, I use my mom's boobs as a speed bag, okay?
So you lied, Bean. That happened.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know. I said I didn't have any memory. I was too young, I guess. So.
And, you know, also, I like, you know, I'm like Rocky. Like, I punished her on the way out.
Oh,
you know?
Oh no.
Yeah, it was like hitting sides of beef.
Oh,
you know?
No.
Like in a cooler.
Nope.
Like in that fridge.
No.
Or like pounded, you know?
Oh. Right?
Yeah.
This is our mom you're talking about, Rocky. You know that, right?
I know, right?
No, what I'm saying is don't talk like that about our mom.
I can't believe that. I never want to go back there again.
Well,
I don't
there's
know
no
how
danger
Chief
of that.
Does it, right?
Come on.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing.
Yes.
I am going to be called Rocky, but for a very short time.
What is that window?
Because, you know, nicknames, they don't tend to last
they
for people.
Stick.
Oh, wait a minute. People who have a nickname are called that forever. What's wrong with my family? Why are they so dumb?
That wasn't the case this time around, I guess.
No, I went from Rocky, then I'll probably call Bean, I think. I get a sense that's where they're leaning.
That's exactly what ends up happening. You're right, Rocky.
Is it?
Yes.
And then I'll probably play the phone sound effect where there's no point for it.
Well, don't do that, though.
That's
because
what I'm guessing.
That'll sound bad, so don't do that.
Don't tell me what to do. I'm Rocky,
okay,
right?
Okay, all right. I'm just suggesting. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. L-A-N-O-C's Alternative Rock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:53.
I just remember all NFL season long last year, all the way to their eventual Super Bowl win. Allie McKay kept saying, I got a bad feeling about the Patriots, you guys. Mm-hmm. Seriously.
Something wrong with this
something
team.
Something wrong with
you
my team.
Are suckers, you fell for it.
Right?
She was setting you up.
Right?
Well, it
losers.
Worked. It worked. So, your Patriot feelings, are they coming true now? Or are
they're
you
all coming true. The
are we
team
dismantling
is being
a championship
yes,
team right now?
They're all gone. They're all gone.
Well, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo is your quarterback next week?
That's Jimmy Garoppolo. I think we're good with Brady, but I think that's pretty much the only person we know that's staying.
We will discuss all of what's going on in the NFL with the free agency coming up with our friend Jim Rome right after the top of the hour. First, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday. What's going on?
We got some black-on-black actor crime going on here.
Oh.
Big argument between John Boyega, who, of course, you may know as Finn from Star Wars.
Right.
And Samuel L. Jackson.
Uh-oh.
Because Samuel L. Jackson is out promoting his new movie, Kong, Skull Island.
Right.
Which looks awesome, by the way.
It does look great.
What a cast for a monster movie. You got Hiddleston, you got Brie Larson, John Goodman, Sam L. Jackson.
Yep.
Come on. Anyway, I got off the topic. He was talking about Get Out, the smash hit horror film, which stars a black actor named Daniel Kaluuya.
Who is amazing.
Yes, but the premise of the film, in which a black guy dates a white girl in America prompted Jackson to suggest the film would have been better if the African-American actor had been African-American. Daniel's a Brit, you see. Mm-hmm. And Sam thinks an actual African-American actor would be able to relate to that situation better. He said, I think it's great that the movie's doing everything it's doing and people are loving it, but I know the young brother who's in it in the movie and he's British. I tend to wonder what the movie would have been with an American brother who really feels that.
Now, when I saw that remark yesterday, Ralph, I was so puzzled because I really couldn't figure out what the hell he was saying. Like, how
he's saying the experience in America for a black man, Bean, is unlike that in any other country, including England, Australia, what have you. It's a very different experience to be a black man in America with its history of racism and slavery at all. And he says that that would have colored that performance in some way. That's what Samuel L. Jackson believes.
But, I mean, if an actor is good enough, he doesn't have to have actually lived it to portray it on screen. By all accounts, it sounds like this guy is getting the job done.
I think you should fight Samuel L. Jackson.
Well, I don't know that that's what
we should get him on
the
phone.
Here we go. It's on.
We're going to get Sam on the phone.
Race war's on, everybody.
You can tell him what it's like to be black in America. I think that would be a good idea. I think I'd love to have you white-splain to him what it's like being a black man in America.
Am I on my own here, or does this strike everybody as kind of a bizarre remark?
This is between Paul and y'all, and you should just stay out of it. It's just
he's saying white man doesn't have an opinion on this.
There's some conflicts I think really that you can't have an opinion on.
Right, but
this may be one.
Okay, but I just didn't understand what his point was.
But I have the opinion that this guy that played the role was amazing.
I don't think Samuel Jackson is denying that fact.
Okay,
I think he's saying there's an element to being an African American that would have lent another color to that performance and to that film.
Racism.
And what did John Boyega say? Because he's British.
John Boyega, a British black actor, responded with, "Black Brits versus African American, stupid ass conflict we don't have time for," he said on Twitter.
Oof.
Daniel Kaluuya also responded to Samuel L. Jackson's remarks by going, rise above your struggle. He said.
Oh, dear.
So.
Is he a racist?
There's some tension.
Yes.
There's some tension.
I hope Sam Rubin weighs in.
Me too.
Same. He's the expert, really.
I like when Sam Jackson gets confused with. Who did he confuse him with last time we talked to him?
Wasn't it the MasterCard guy? Or
Sam Jackson does the Chase cards, right?
He does
the credit cards, but there was someone else.
He thought he was another black guy.
Yeah, was it
Morgan Freeman, maybe?
Morgan Freeman, that's who it was.
Or Lawrence Fishburne.
Yeah, because there was a Matrix Super Bowl commercial.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Fishburne.
Good Lord.
Anyway.
Good times.
I'm just saying. It's unfortunate because Get Out obviously is a great film, and it does great things for black Americans, regardless of who plays the lead.
It sounds racist.
So.
Can you repeat the part of this stuff where you said all about the things?
No, I'm way too busy for that. Scarlett Johansson is parting ways with her husband, Romain Doriac. She's a farter and a racist. No, she's not. After 2 short years of wedded bliss, the two have filed their paperwork, and it says the marriage is irretrievably broken.
Uh-uh. Well, I mean, they gave it a good try at 2 years.
And Scarlett wants custody of their 3-year-old daughter, Rose Dorothy. So apparently there's going to be an ugly custody battle in their future as well. Scarlett says she's not sure if she believes that fidelity and monogamy is possible. In response to the
for
end her of her
or
marriage.
For her husband?
For anyone.
For anyone. Okay.
Yeah.
Huh.
Which I sound like, Scarlett's a good time then. This is a good time to get with Scarlett. Because then you can be like, boop, over here, like, what? You said it's not possible, right? That's all I'm saying.
Look at how hot she is. Isn't that crazy?
And Ricky Gervais is coming to town. You know that? He's coming in October. He's going to be performing live here in Los Angeles.
How are your tickets, Kevin?
Great. They're great tickets.
I'm still in line forever to get the first availables.
I mean, they're very back. They couldn't be further back, but... Uh-huh. Other than that, they're perfect.
At least you held up our meeting for half an hour.
Yeah, well,
That happened.
You kept punching. And didn't tell any of us right. where you were going.
You just kept working yeah. your laptop yeah. like a xylophone.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Anyway, he's got a new TV show as well, a new kids game show he's created for ABC
oh.
called Child Support. It's an hour-long show. We'll have kids answering 10 questions correctly to win. If they answer one wrong, they can be saved by a panel of children ages 6 to 9 who will be asked the same question. All right, I'm confused. I think I did that poorly. I think there's adults.
Okay, there are adults or there are children?
Can they play in the theater at the same time?
The adults are asked questions. If they get one wrong, they can turn to a panel of children aged 6 to 9 who will be asked the same question.
So it's
Fred
like that.
Savage will host the show, and Ricky will be in charge of the panel of kids who can save the contestants. The show starts taping here in Los Angeles next week.
Can you repeat the part of this stuff where you said all about the things?
Yes.
So it sounds like that. Are you dumber than a fifth grader, sixth grader,
so,
whatever?
Something like that, yeah. But it'd probably be better. Because there's less rednecks involved.
Right?
Speaking of kids, I finally saw my first commercial for the Eric Stone Street commercial
oh, yeah?
for the Toy Box, his new show he's got with kids and toys and things. Looks very entertaining. He's on during Modern Family.
Looking forward to that.
Today's celebrity birthday is Bow Wow.
Yippee-yo, yippee-yay.
He's 30 years old today. Brittany Snow turns 31. Chingy's 37 years old. Awesome. I love the way you do that right burn. Right oh, burn. My God. Let down your
hair. Down your hair. I like the way you do that right burn. Right burn. Chingy, everybody.
Yeah, Chingy.
That's a name I haven't heard in a long
that
time.
Was a surprise Chingy right there. You know, you ever do that? You're at the gym, you get a surprise Chingy, and you got to turn around and adjust. No one can see it.
Come on.
Oscar Isaac is 38 years old today. And Shannon Leto, you know him as the drummer for 30 Seconds to Mars. He's 47 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, LANOC's alternative rock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9 minutes after 8 o'clock.
Are you just bringing in records from home, Kevin? Or what were we just listening to?
Prisoner of Society. What's wrong with you?
By the Living End.
Yes.
Jim Rome, you remember that song?
No, never heard it.
1998.
1998, ladies and gentlemen. That one goes back.
Like it.
Wow. How about that?
Where's Rodney?
Exactly. It's our weekly visit with Jim Rome. We do every Thursday about this time. JimRome.com to hear the show from 9 till noon West Coast. And don't forget, if you miss any portion of it, you can get the podcast at the same website or play.in at iTunes. The Daily Jungle is a show roundup of the best of the show from that particular day. How are you today, sir?
What's up, fam? What's up, fam? I got my intro. I'm all good. See you next week. Bye.
Well, we do have a couple
that
things
was strong.
We want to talk to you about. And yeah. we want to start with the drama. And I didn't realize. I knew that the Buss family was having problems with people getting fired from the Lakers and whatnot. But it ended up – Jeannie ended up in Superior Court this week in Los Angeles getting a restraining order against her bros. What's going on with that?
Good times. Good times. Let me lay this out for those who didn't see it. Typical family business. I mean, we've seen this story a million times, right? The old man dies. He leaves one of the daughters in charge, much to the chagrin of her older brother. She watches the older brother jack up the entire basketball side. She finally whacks him. Then she hires the old man's surrogate son, Magic, to take over for the real son, which obviously infuriated the real son because he's always resented how close Magic was to the old man and his sister. So he and the older bro plot to overthrow the sis, who hits them with said restraining order. You know, pretty wow. standard stuff. Or the biggest circus ever. What a clown show. Guys, they could not get any free agent who mattered to come there even before that all went down. No one's coming now that the Sibs are suing each other and stabbing each other in the face.
Isn't that amazing? And Kevin, how do you feel as a lifelong Lakers fan to know that you have an organization that is in such disarray that you can't get a player to want to move to Los Angeles and be part of a Lake
it's
show?
It's really, really different. The Lakers have spoiled Los Angeles for a long, yeah. long time with being a great franchise and winning a lot of championships. And now it's just such a, like you said, a clown show. It's just ridiculous.
Hey, Kevin, how bad is that a Pelican fan is talking junk to you? A Pelican fan is up in your grill talking junk to you.
So sad.
That is so bad. That is the worst. Oh, hey, Allie, what's up?
Oh, hey, Jim.
So why did this have to go to court? Didn't Jeannie Buss have the right to fire her brothers or no?
Yeah, she certainly did, but they didn't like being fired. So the question now is, what's Jim and Johnny's end play? I mean, are they doing this because they want to rip control of the franchise from her, or do they just want to be bought out? That's something we really don't know. Now, the good news for Jeannie is, and this is the way that the old man set it up, right? She's obviously the brightest, and that's why he put her in charge. But the good news for her is she has the support of her other sibs, Janie, Joey, and Jesse.
Okay.
So this thing will go to court.
Wow, there's more of them than I knew. There. Wow.
Yeah, right? You've got Janie, Joey, Jesse, Jeannie, Jimmy, and Johnny.
Well, it looks like
they will all be...
It looks like the old man made a good decision.
No, yeah, I mean, he got it right. He did make the right decision. Yeah. The other ones need to stand down and do what's best for that franchise and not what's best for themselves. So we'll find out on May 15th, I should say, when they go to court and whether or not they continue to push this thing or they do stand down. But for now, it is the ultimate clown show.
Now, Jim, you saw the quote from Mark Cuban this week where he talked about how how delighted he is to see the trouble that the Lakers are having. I hope they fail miserably, he said. He has to be in the minority of owners who feel that way. I mean, a strong Laker franchise is good for all of the NBA, right?
Yeah, that's just Mark, quote, Rubin trolling people. this guy's the ultimate troll. Believe me, that's not good for the NBA. The NBA is looking at the Lakers. That's one of their crown jewels of the entire industry. They don't want this. They do not want that kind of infighting there. It's a bad look. It's bad for business. Bad for their business. Bad for the NBA business. So Cuban might be trolling them like that, but there's nobody who matters in the NBA who thinks this is a good thing.
Okay, one more basketball note, and then we'll move on to the NFL free agency. You mentioned the Pelicans. They have had DeMarcus Cousins now for about 2 weeks in a trade from the Sacramento Kings, and he's a pretty good player, but he has not been proven necessarily to be, well, he needs to keep his mouth shut when he's playing basketball, right?
Now, he's a really good player, and he runs a little bit hot. So when he came through L.A. recently, there were these fans who got pretty close to the floor, and they started to ride him hard. Boogie is his nickname. They're riding Boogie hard, and this is a guy that you can hook, and they knew it, and they were out to get him. So this heckle that you're going to hear is not that clever, but it was relentless, and it was funny, and they did get their dude.
AD, what's good, baby? Cousins, what's good? Fat boy, how many you got, baby? What's good, fat boy? Fat boy! Fat boy! Fat boy! Hey, fat boy, I got some donuts for you.
Krispy Kreme, fat boy!
By the way, that guy jumps at the end. Krispy Kreme's fat boy. So not a real clever heckle, but let's just say when the big man came off the floor, he told these dudes something that even y'all wouldn't say on your show.
Yeah.
Even something I wouldn't say on my Showtime show back in the day. And it worked. The only disappointing thing for me was I gathered the Rome family around the family laptop at dinner one night to have them watch it, and my wife Janet was not having any of it. Not only did Mama not understand why I thought that was so funny, she said it was, quote, mean. But I'm like, it's all good. I got a 15-year-old son. I got a 12-year-old son. I know they'll love it. But they didn't either. I'm like, maybe you didn't hear me. Kids, let me play that one more time.
AD, what's good, baby? Cousins, what's good? Fat boy, how many you got, baby? What's good, fat boy? Fat boy! Fat boy! Fat boy! Hey, fat boy, I got some donuts for you.
Is it me? How is that not funny?
No, that is awesome.
How is that not funny?
That's straight awesome.
That's great. That's great heckling.
I'm with Janet.
Really?
That's awful.
Come on.
That's awesome.
Come on. How is that not funny?
Team Janet.
Fat boy.
Team
fat
Janet.
Boy.
Team Janet.
What's good, Allie? Fat boy. Come on.
That is legitimate and fair heckling is what that is.
What's good, Allie?
Talking to Jim Rome on the Kevin and Bean Show like we do Thursdays at this time. Let's close with some free agency thoughts. It's no surprise that it's finally happening. Tony Romo will soon no longer be a Dallas Cowboy. You believe he'll go to Houston, or is it going to be Denver? What do you think, Jim?
It's going to be one of the two. Denver and Houston are both the front runners, and in my opinion... Fat boy! In my opinion, the Texans are a better opportunity. It's a better fit. He's 37. He's got to be in it to win it. The Texans have an easier division. They've got an easier path to the postseason than Denver does. He would have weapons there. He'd have a great defense there. It's going to be even better when J.J. Watt comes back. And if he can't finish his career with the Cowboys, it would be great for him to stay in state with the Texans. He's going to end up at either one of those two places, but Houston would be better in my opinion.
He doesn't go based on money at this point, though, right? He goes by trying to win a championship.
I don't know the answer to that. I would assume. Yeah. I would like to think that's the case. The guy at 37 should be in it to win it. Yeah. But then again, mm-hmm. I haven't looked at his bank statement lately. We're going to find out what's more important to the guy, because I don't think that Denver is going to give him the amount of money that he thinks he's worth. Mm. And I think Houston gives him a better chance to win. So he should be in it for the ring.
What other free agency names are you most excited about seeing what team they end up with?
You know, the other guys that are moving around, it's, if you don't follow it closely, you might not know the name, but Stephon Gilmore, maybe the best cornerback available in free agency, is going to sign with the Patriots. So, Allie, I don't know why you're freaking out. That's a good thing. That's a good thing.
It's fine.
What's good, Allie? All right, so another good one, DeSean Jackson, reportedly is going to sign with Tampa Bay. I love that move for them. If he can stay healthy, he's a big play home run threat. They need that. And the other one, guys, it's really, really interesting to me, Mike Glennon. Is a backup quarterback who started for 1 year, and it looks like the Bears are going all in with him at about $14.5 million.
Wow. Wow.
Good work if you can get it.
Wow.
Poor
dads, moms, put a football in your son's hand. Let them play quarterback.
Forget the concussions.
Even if you suck, you get paid. Yeah, right.
Well, these are all names we
You'll
may
get
be
your
hearing.
Brain scrambled, but you will get paid.
These are all names we may be hearing more about in the weeks and months to come. And this free agency thing is developing minute by minute, so you don't want to miss it on the Jim Rome Show, jimrome.com from 9 till noon today. And if you miss any part of it, definitely check out the podcast at the same website, or play.it and iTunes as well. Jim, good time as always. We'll do it again next week. Thank you.
See you. Legends next week.
I don't watch the news because I'm a kid.
So what's going on with this flight out of L.A.? Hawaiian Airlines Flight 7, Allie, were you following this drama yesterday?
I was not.
It was leaving from Las Vegas and flying to Hawaii. And it ended up being diverted. It was a few miles past the California coast over the Pacific Ocean. And it ended up being turned back and landed at LAX because of a confrontation on board with a passenger.
Oof. What a surprise.
Now, you're going to be amazed when I tell you about the confrontation. I really do think you're going to be stunned when you find out what it was that caused the decision to turn that plane around. Because when you think about this, you think about a fight breaking out, or you think about somebody threatening that they have a bomb, or they're going to shoot the pilot, or, you know, just something violent.
Right.
I would think.
Or maybe a health crisis.
Yeah, heart attack.
Yes,
sure. Yeah,
heart
okay.
Sure. Or somebody who's so drunk that the other passengers may be in danger, and the flight crew just doesn't have the time or the resources to keep that person away from everybody else.
Right. Mm-hmm.
This was a 66-year-old passenger who requested a blanket. He was told that the cost – and by the way, here's a shocking part of the story, Hawaiian Airlines. Shame on you. He was told that the cost of a blanket would be $12 for
really?
A blanket.
Was he buying it?
No. Well, I don't know. I shouldn't say no. I don't know. Maybe that's how Hawaiian Airlines works. Maybe they don't lend you a blanket. Maybe they only sell you a blanket. I don't know. Witnesses on the plane say that the man argued he should not have to pay for a blanket because it was so cold. He became upset, asked for the phone number to Hawaiian corporate headquarters to complain. According to the police, he then said, and are you guys sitting down for the shocking statement
yes.
that came out of a 66-year-old man that made a plane turn around and land in LAX instead of Hawaii? The man said, "I'd like to take someone behind the woodshed for this."
Have 1945 get back to you.
That's not, I'm going to bust through the cabin door and slit the pilot's throat over this. That's, I'm going to take someone behind the woodshed. That's what your grandpa says to
right.
you. That's not a thing. There is no woodshed.
It's not very threatening.
It's not. That's my point.
But
yeah.
But I feel like with the airlines today,
anything
that's even remotely close to that.
Yeah.
Somebody said, I don't even know what a woodshed is. Let's go back. Google it.
Google woodshed. Does that look, perhaps there's more to the story that has been reported, but I've read every article on it. I've listened to the interview with Hawaiian Airlines, and that was their description as well, is it appears to be that was the comment. I'd like to take someone behind the woodshed. Nope.
I mean,
if you're on that plane and you're a member of that flight crew,
right.
does that put panic up and down your
well,
spine?
With the music, yes.
Yeah.
He had this music with
yeah.
him.
Yeah, see, so. I'm turning that plane around.
Do you take that threat seriously?
Does it have that music?
While there was no physical altercation, crew members refused service from that point, and the pilot, I don't know what that means, and the pilot made the decision to dump fuel. Now remember, they were loaded up for Hawaii.
Oh,
they're
wow,
just
yeah.
past California. They dumped fuel in order to land at LAX at 10:15. The man was escorted off the flight. I thought it was ridiculous, said one passenger, Eileen Burstrom. First of all, it cost them $12,000 to land here, which, by the way, is accurate. That's how much it cost.
I mean, the organ's weird.
Rethink that one.
Yeah.
That's how much it cost Hawaiian Airlines to abort that flight and sent off again.
Right.
That's why
$12,000.
The blankets are $12 because they're doing this crap.
Yes, maybe
I'm just going to count them with one word, woodshed.
You're right.
I mean, come
That's
on now.
Very dangerous.
After police. I promise I'll finish up here. After police and federal authorities took the man into the terminal, they determined he was not a threat and then released him without filing charges. He was able to fly to Hawaii later in the day on a different airline.
Yay! 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. LA and OC's alternative rock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:52.
How have you never mentioned this to us before, Allie?
Yeah, I thought I had.
Why did you never bring this up?
I thought a lot of people knew this story.
This isn't the type of thing you just spring on us now.
Is this about your friend talking to Carol?
No. That's pretty good.
This is about Allie killing Biggie.
I did not.
Killed Biggie Smalls 20 years ago tonight.
You should buy that SUV.
I did not.
A little trophy for your hunting expedition.
I was there the night he was murdered.
If you'll permit us some time, I would like you to hear this story with the same ears that we just heard it, which is, I think it's going to surprise you. Go ahead, Alan.
You were there the night?
I was at the Vibe Party, and it was at the Peterson Automotive Museum, and my friend knew how much I loved Biggie. So get in, super excited, want to meet him, and he VIP, everything. Da, da, da. Couldn't quite get up to him, and then my friend's like, all right, come on, let's get you in here. So I'm standing behind Biggie, just kind of waiting. Feeling like an idiot, and he turned around and looked at me, but mid turning around, he had the most violent sneeze ever, and sneezed kind of all over me.
Oh.
To which my response was, oh, is Biggie Smalls the illest?
Biggie Smalls is the illest.
And he laughed hysterically, and then would tell people coming up, like, listen to what she just said when I sneezed on her. And I was like, yeah, that was fun times. And then I left the party. Why are you shaking your head, Ralph? This is a beautiful story.
Wait, I'm doubting the part where you left the party.
I left the party, went home, and then woke
up
the
next day.
Got a gun,
came back.
Right.
He was dead.
Because after that joke, he asked someone to kill him.
Is that what it was?
That's what it was, yeah.
Oh, wow.
I know the feeling.
So, Allie, how long after you spoke to Biggie Smalls was he dead? An hour? 2 hours?
Yeah, a couple hours.
Oh, my God. You killed Biggie.
And you have somebody
that... thrill in Bean's voice that he has someone close to a death story.
This isn't a thrill at all. This is just...
Oh, you're thrilled.
Giving me goosebumps.
That's what happens when someone's thrilled,
by the way.
No, it's just...
It's giving none of the rest of us goosebumps.
No.
It's
just
a great story.
It's shocking and scary and weird and
it's
bizarre.
None of those.
It's not
she
shocking
happened to
or
be
scary.
At a party and got
all of those things. Mm-hmm. It's not shocking when you meet somebody, talk to somebody, and then 2 hours later they're dead.
See,
that's shocking to me.
This is being going, he was just alive and now he's dead. I don't understand how death works. I don't like it.
I'm still unsure of the concept.
I don't like it.
So wait a minute, he was alive? And then moments later, he was no longer alive? Hey, I don't understand.
Allie, with all the love you had for Biggie, how did you feel about him sneezing all over you?
That was awesome.
Were you okay with it?
I got to recite unbelievable lyrics to Biggie Smalls.
Right?
Who saw that coming?
That's a story, man. That's a great celebrity encounter, except
Thank
for him.
You. Thank you.
Except for his part.
Right.
The way
the
it
whole,
ended.
The whole murdered.
Murder thing. Yeah.
Part. Yeah.
I feel like that's Bean's favorite part.
Well,
yeah.
No, not at all. I just
feel
think
like
that's
it
a
is.
That's just a bizarre, crazy story. That's all. I feel terrible about what happened, but I mean,
do you feel Allie's bad that
a
Allie
great story
did?
Out of it.
I didn't do it. I didn't mean. Yeah,
that.
I was just there.
Yeah.
All right, 8:55. We'll tell you how you can win your tickets to see Incubus and Jimmy Eat World right after Ralph does the Showbiz Beat here on a Thursday.
Samuel Jackson's the mother effing man.
Yes,
he was on James Corden last night promoting his new film Kong Skull Island. And, you know, sometimes James Corden will do this sketch with high-profile actor guests where they will act out his or her entire film career in a sketch.
Right.
They did that last night with Sam Jackson. It's awesome. It's about 11 minutes long.
Whoa.
And they do it in front of
They do it in front of a green screen, and they're constantly changing the background and changing, fast-changing costumes and wigs.
How many movies has he been in?
Well, that's what they asked him initially. He couldn't even count how many movies he's been in. But they did Coming to America, Shaft, A Time to Kill, Do the Right Thing, Jurassic Park, Snakes on a Plane, all the Marvel movies. I mean, just in rapid succession, so many films. That was just so awesome. And, of course, they had to do Pulp Fiction. So here's Sam and James Corden as John Travolta, as Samuel L. Jackson from Pulp Fiction.
You know what they call a quarter pounder with cheese in Paris?
They don't call it a quarter pounder with cheese?
No, man, they got the metric system. They wouldn't know what the f*** a quarter pounder is.
And what do they call it?
They call it a Royale with cheese.
Royale with cheese.
Royale with cheese. And he did the whole biblical thing, too, the whole speech.
Wow.
Yeah, it was just, it was awesome. So you can check that out online. Speaking of awesome, Patrick Stewart is doing a live interview on Facebook this afternoon at noon. It's part of Variety Magazine's Facebook page series of interviews. And he'll be talking about Logan, of course, and Star Trek, I'm sure, if you ask him. So if you want to watch that, you can go to Variety, the newspaper, Variety Newspaper's Facebook page this afternoon at noon. See Patrick Stewart in all his glory.
He's one of our favorite guests.
He is the best.
He's fostering a pit bull named Ginger from Wags and Walks. Just got it yesterday.
What's happening?
Where did we go?
He posted video of the pit bull coming to the door and him getting on the ground and petting. So he's fostering this beautiful little pitty named Ginger from Wags and Walks, which is a great place to adopt.
Biggie Smalls is the illest. You should check out.
How come we don't have an Allie's Fun Facts jingle?
Well, we're going to need one now.
Yeah, I think we will.
It's a real cute video.
Also, thanks for that info, Allie.
Yeah.
Thanks for that tweet, Allie.
I mean, you're making me feel very she-beanie right now.
Well, if the bean fits, wear it, as we've always said. And this is cool. If you're a Shins fan, if you're a fan of the band The Shins, they are giving away their very first tour van. It is a 1990 Ford 350 Club Wagon that the band bought with its first advance from Sub Pop Records. Has a ton of miles on it, but it's still a runner. And their new album, Heartworms, will be out on Friday. If you record a video of you or your band covering one of the Shins songs and upload it to hashtag Shins Van Contest, you could win their van, which I think for a Shins fan would be a pretty big deal. So if you're interested, you can go to theshins.com for more info.
If you're not a Shins fan, that's probably a pretty nasty band.
Well, you probably wouldn't be interested, I would think, if you were not a Shins fan. But if you are a Shins fan, it's going to be nasty. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But you can take some of that funk and put it in a Petri dish and come up and you can grow your own shins.
I don't... positive that's how it works.
Look it up.
Okay.
Science. Today's celebrity birthdays... 30 Seconds to Mars drummer Sharon Leto is 47 years old today. Oscar Isaac turns 38. Rapper Chingy's 37. Britney Snow is 31. Bow Wow is 30. And Barbie! Barbie celebrates her 58th birthday today. Barbie, every little girl's dream. Barbie. Right?
Right.
Take Barbie when you're a kid and just wrap her around.
Nobody. Oh, Ralph. No.
She was hot.
Putting that there.
Nobody?
No.
I didn't do that.
Really?
Mm-mm.
Did you have sisters?
No.
Well, maybe you didn't have a lot of Barbies in your house then.
Just brothers.
My Grammy did something weird with the Barbies.
Hmm?
This is such an Irish Catholic guilt thing. She cut the boobs off of Barbies.
What
the
F is going on in your house?
No wonder you're so damaged.
No, this is for my mom and her five sisters. They couldn't...
It travels down.
My...
Damage goes downstream.
I heard it skipped a generation.
Nope.
No? Nope. Okay. Hey, listen, if you're Irish Catholic, give us a call right now. 1-800-520.
Nope. You're on Allie, a whole different show, nope. Allie. You're in an alternate universe.
We're doing a contest next that has nothing to do with that.
I'm Ralph Carter. Walk the show is beat.
Thank you, Ralph.
Thank you, Ralph. Why did she cut the boobs off Barbies?
It was like a sexualized thing. It's too much. Those breasts are too much.
Well,
Oh, hey. I see.
Yeah.
Gotcha. She was too, it was too, all right. too sinful.
Yeah.
You go, Kevin. All right. You do what you do.
K-Rock Wheels Up 2017. That's never been said before.
Right, I know. That's where we are now.
Destination number six is Incubus and Jimmy Eat World. You see them at the Hollywood Bowl, and you qualify to see them in New Orleans. If you call right now, we're going to play a game next. 1-800-520-1067. The game is next.
Our weekly visit with Dr. Drew Pinsky coming up in minutes. First, though, let's take care of some business here. Give away some tickets to go see Incubus along with Jimmy Eat World. Oh, that's a great double bill. Hollywood Bowl, plus you qualify to see them in New Orleans. It's K-Rock Wheels Up 2017, destination number six. This game is called Crazy Eights.
Come along and guess the Crazy Eights. If you win the game, then you will need a date. Maybe go to New Orleans, that'd be great. All you have to do is name the Crazy Eights. Pick it up, pick it up.
Crazy Eights, Crazy Eights,
yeah.
Crazy Eights.
They're crazy.
Eights.
Now, you want to tell folks why we're focused on the number eight in this game, Bean?
Yes. Incubus has a brand new album coming out. You remember we had them in a couple of weeks ago, world premiering their first new single in a long time. And the new album is going to be called Eight.
Crazy Ace.
It is their eighth release. So, therefore...
Crazy Ace.
Therefore, all of the answers, as I understand correctly, Ralph, that you're going to be given to the callers here, involve the number eight.
Crazy Ace.
Absolutely correct. In honor of eight, we will be focusing...
Crazy Ace.
Okay. We'll be focusing on the number eight.
Crazy Ace.
In a game we call...
Crazy Ace.
Crazy Ace. It's just that simple.
All right. So you get the question right. You go into the drawing. Someone wins tickets at the end. Who's up first, Kevin?
First up is Athena in Ontario. Hi, Athena.
Hi.
Hi, Athena. Here's your question. It's a Crazy Eight question, okay?
Crazy Ace.
This juice was developed to help people get their vegetables. It has the advertising tagline, I could have had a...
V8.
V8.
Crazy Ace.
Nicely done.
Is it a drawing? They go in the drawing?
Yes, sir.
Awesome.
Let's go to Yvonne in Moreno Valley. Hi.
Hi. How's it going?
Good. Thank you.
Good, Yvonne. In 2015, Quentin Tarantino wrote and directed this American Western mystery film. 2015 film.
Crap.
Has eight in it.
Right. It's one of the three words of the title.
Includes the word eight.
And the.
Oh, God.
So we've given you two of the three words. I mean, really.
Yeah.
Little... Narrow it down a little bit more.
Oh, sorry. The Hateful Eight we're looking for. The Hateful Eight.
All right.
Would have never guessed it.
Okay. Yeah.
Did not sound like that rung a bell at all with Yvonne.
It was in a movie theater.
It was a very popular movie, yes.
Let's go to James in Lake Balboa. Hi, James. Hello, James.
What are you doing, James?
Put down your big gulp. We're on the air now.
That wasn't a big gulp.
Right?
I don't want to know what it was, Ben.
James?
What do you do? What do you
okay,
do?
Okay, good.
Here. Here's your question. This is a classic children's toy that you could use to ask about the future. You would shake it. It would say things like, reply hazy, try again.
That would be the eight ball.
Close enough,
Crazy
Ralph.
Ace.
Look close at enough. Ralph's face. He doesn't want to give it to him.
That's why I'm asking. I know Ralph is a stickler for questions and answers. Is it close enough? Is eight ball close enough, or is there another
magic
word perhaps?
There you go.
There you go.
There you
are. All right. Okay.
All right.
Eight ball is like a pool game. It's like really not the same thing as the magic
different
eight
thing.
Ball.
Right.
Yeah, true. All right, let's go
all
to
right,
George in Los Angeles. Hi, George.
Hey, what's up? How's it going?
Good, George. Before home videos were available, home movies used to be shot on this kind of film.
VHS?
VHS?
That's a nice effort.
I wish we could put them in the drawing just for being funny.
VHS. No, I'm sorry, looking for Super 8 or 8 millimeter film is what they used to make home movies with.
But you cracked us up, George. Thank you for calling. We appreciate it.
Crazy Ace.
Yeah. Ralph, I suspect you had yourself a little Super 8 camera when you were coming up, I bet.
I did not. I used to make movies with a with an Instamatic camera that I would take pictures of and make turn into slides, and then I would create a soundtrack and create a slideshow with a soundtrack. That's the closest I ever got to making movies.
And do any of those still exist?
I believe there is a Batman and Robin episode still floating
around.
That's
fantastic. That sounds like a lot of work to make a little movie.
It was, but I was dedicated. I was dedicated when I had energy and creativity when I was young.
Let's say good morning to Jake from Long Beach. Hi, Jake.
What's going on, guys?
Hey, Jake. This motion picture introduced M&M to a lot of people.
8 Mile.
Crazy Ace.
Nicely done.
Good batch of Incubus Jimmy Eat World fans here this morning.
How do you know?
A lot of them are getting the answers right.
Adam, I know, but the questions aren't about the bands.
No, but I'm saying the people who called in that are fans of that band are contestants.
Okay. Right. Adam and Corona, good morning.
Bubbles Owl.
Hey, Adam.
Bubbles Owl.
Here's your question. On the 8th day of Christmas, what did my true love give to me?
What?
On the, the famous...
That is the appropriate response.
It's a famous song, of course, a Christmas song called The 12 Days of Christmas.
I want to put Adam in just for this.
Same.
And on the 8th day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 8...
Maids of Milking.
Yes!
Crazy! How about that?
8 Maids of Milking.
Dumb a question as you thought it was it?
Wow.
Didn't need to panic. You just had to think a little bit.
I think we got time for a couple more if we go fast, you guys.
Elijah in Whittier. Hi.
Remember when Kevin said milk's a mating?
What's up,
Jerry?
Nope. Crazy Ace.
That's what's up.
Yeah.
All right, you ready, Elijah?
I'm ready. Go ahead.
After vinyl, but before CDs, this was a popular format to listen music on.
That would be an 8-track.
8-track.
Crazy Ace.
Yeah, nicely done.
All right, one more you got.
Let's go to Brian in Whittier. Hi, Brian.
Hey, Kevin. How you guys doing?
Good.
Hey, Brian. In 2015... the Anaheim Ducks retired the number 8 jersey worn by this player. Do you know the name?
Oh, sure don't.
Number 8 for the Anaheim Ducks? What the hell was that buzzer?
I mean...
Sorry, we're looking for Teemu Selänne. Teemu Selänne wore number 8 for the Ducks.
Thanks, Chip is personally offended you didn't know that one.
Should we go out? Do we have any more? No? Okay. I felt bad going out.
Elisha is in the drawing, as is Adam. Also, Jake, James, and Athena as well. They are all in the running to win tickets to see Incubus and Jimmy World of the Hollywood Bowl and be eligible for the grand prize drawing that we'll do Monday to send someone to New Orleans to see both bands again. Miss Allie McKay, who's our winner, please?
The winner is Athena.
Athena!
Athena. Congratulations, Athena.
Thank you, guys.
Enjoy the show. Thanks for playing the game.
Crazy Ace. Crazy Ace. Crazy Ace.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 22 minutes after 9 o'clock.
You are listening to... Oh, you already said that part.
Yep.
Hey, Dr. Drew's on the phone, you guys.
I said that part like 12 seconds ago.
Something's going on today.
We are all having paying attention today. If only we knew a doctor, we could get some Adderall or something.
Nope.
Maybe that's what we need. Hey, Dr. Drupinski, how are you, sir?
Hey, guys. I just realized it was all that talk we did offline, off the air, about drugs that had you guys all addled and preoccupied.
That's very possible.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
DrDrew.com is the website for all of the podcast live appearances. And don't miss Dr. Drew Midday Live with Mike Catherwood, noon till 3 on 790 KABC. I'm so glad you're on with us today. I did not see the piece of tape that they put up on TMZ, but Kevin did, apparently. Kevin, what was the doctor on about?
Well, I was talking about George Michael and his death of natural causes. And when they said he died of natural causes, I thought, what? And so did Dr. Drew, apparently.
Well, I didn't just say what. I went, they said natural causes, dilated cardiomyopathy, fatty liver. That's like saying natural causes, brain aneurysm. Natural causes, lung cancer. A 53-year-old man does not, as a natural course of his life, develop a dilated cardiomyopathy. That's caused by something. It's a disease process, and it's a fatal disease process.
And your problem with them saying natural causes is it's just not accurate.
It's literally nonsensical to say natural causes dilated cardiomyopathy. So I figure that poor pathologist, if I know the way the media works, and nowhere is there more fake news than when it comes to medical reporting. And I just bet he was misquoted. I bet you he was. And let's talk about a dilated cardiomyopathy. I mean, that's an intrinsic disease process of the heart muscle. When we think about heart disease, we usually think about the coronary disease, the blood supply to the heart. But you can also have a primary disorder of the muscle of the heart.
Hmm.
Now, that can happen because of high blood pressure. Your heart's pumping against the high blood pressure until it poops out. It can cause by a virus.
Poop out of your heart?
It poops out.
Oh.
And it, or a viral myocarditis, and then it dilates. Or substances like alcohol, very classically, and when you see fatty liver and dilated cardiomyopathy, you think, oh, I want to look at that person's alcohol consumption, and we know he had pretty heavy alcohol consumption, so you got to wonder, maybe that has something to do with it. But I don't know the guy, I don't know why he died, I just know that to say natural cause is cardiomyopathy, that is not literally nonsensical. Yeah, so that's all I'm saying.
Those are conflicting remarks is what you're saying.
Those are oxymoron. Two things that don't follow from the other.
You need to call people names. That's ridiculous.
I don't think we need to call anyone names here. Let's keep it civil. But so the coroner should have come out and said he died of heart disease, basically, right?
He died of a dilated cardiomyopathy, which the dreaded complication is sudden cardiac death. Now, remember, he had pneumonia 4 years ago, and it's a shame they didn't pick it up then, but maybe it hadn't really dilated yet. And usually it gets picked up on a chest x-ray. You see the cardiac silhouette enlarging. And you can treat this. They normally put an implantable defibrillator in. You might have a heart transplant. You might get a new heart. I mean, there's all kinds of things you can do. And they must not have known he had it, and he probably died sudden death from cardiomyopathy. And that happens, but that's not a natural cause. That is anything but a natural cause for a 53-year-old man.
Yeah, that totally makes sense, Dr. Joe. And I'm wondering, when you say that you think maybe the coroner was misquoted, if what was happening here is the media were expecting drug overdose.
Exactly.
And he was just trying to clarify, no, this wasn't a deal where the guy took a bunch of pills or shot himself up. He died of something that he already had going on in his body.
Correct. That is precisely the issue. It didn't fit their narrative, so they had to break their narrative with some weird statement. And look, he had no drugs in his system, and this is a late effect of drugs and alcohol. You can have stopped your drugs and alcohol, and this process can progress. So he may well have been in recovery, he may have had nothing to do with drugs and alcohol, but it's still caused by the drugs and alcohol.
I wonder if people would be surprised how many different ways sustained use of drugs and alcohol or overuse of drugs and alcohol affects the body. I bet it affects almost every part of what's going on inside you, Doctor.
Particularly alcohol, and people get very confused about these things. For instance, opiates, the painkillers, are the most harmless things you can put in your body, but they cause the worst addictive disease. And the route at which people administering them, meaning they shoot them, it's the IV use and all the particulate matter and all the nonsense that goes in with the IV that causes all the damage associated with IV drug use. It's not the heroin itself. That's a, quote, harmless drug, just causes the worst form of addiction. While alcohol, everyone uses it, one of the most toxic drugs we expose ourselves to that is a drug of addiction. It's a carcinogen. It causes direct damage to things like the heart muscle and the liver, and we don't think about it that way.
So thumbs up on heroin.
Yeah,
heroin
I heard.
Good, alcohol okay. bad.
Thumbs down on alcohol. Right. Trying to keep it straight.
Because I didn't see the TMZ piece, what restaurant were you coming out of, Dr. Drew?
by the way, I was coming out of Catch, and the thing caused a crap storm, a full-on S-storm. Because
that's rare for you.
Yeah, right?
I know. I'm just trying to... What is it? Allie, please help me. What is that? Why?
I feel like, Drew, when someone comes up to ask you a medical question of someone you are not treating...
I should run?
Just go, no, thank you, hard pass.
No.
Because you know
Dr.
what?
Dr. Drew's idea is much better. Run. That would be so funny on TMZ.
I'll tell you why I won't do that, because I feel like it's my responsibility to correct misreporting of medical matters on the press. I do that all day long.
No, I agree with that 100%. You're in the right to do that. But the way they will chop that down and the way they will take certain sentences that you said and misconstrue it even more, I think it is a problem.
So expect... that was my PR coach. So expect a crap storm.
All I know is I turned on Fox News last night and they said Dr. Drew claims that George Michael did not die. And
yeah.
I just thought, this has gotten out of control.
That seems so ridiculous.
All right. Well, thank you for clarifying that. That does make a lot more sense, certainly.
Yeah. I mean, that's all I'm saying is that poor pathologist probably misquoted to say natural causes and then give a fatal disease that follows that 53-year-old men don't get without a reason. That doesn't make sense.
Dr. Drew, for all the podcasts, including his daily show with the great Adam Carolla, and don't miss him live with our friend Mike Catherwood, noon till 3 on 790 KABC. Have a great week. We'll do it again next time. Thanks.
Thanks, guys.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 939.
Hey, Ralph Kramer.
Hi, Bean Baxter.
I understand we have a new moment with to debut.
Well, let's bring it on then.
Hope it's not me, right?
And now, a moment with Bean.
Yes, yes.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 22 minutes after 9 o'clock.
You're listening to... Oh, you already said that part.
Yep.
Hey, Dr. Drew's on the phone, you guys.
I said that part like 12 seconds ago.
That was a moment with Bean.
Wow.
It was odd.
There's been a rash of Bean just not giving an ass any longer about the show and just paying no attention whatsoever.
I'm not sure that's true.
Should we hear that again?
Yeah, yes, please.
Just so we can judge.
And now, a moment with Bean.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 22 minutes after 9 o'clock.
You're listening to... Oh, you already said that part.
Yep.
Hey, Dr. Drew's on the phone, you guys.
I said that part like 12 seconds ago.
That was A Moment with Bean.
This was a success.
I am not a winner.
Remember, they must be using glasses as weapons. Remember that?
Sure.
That debacle?
There was that one.
There was that one. It's just, ongoing, it's a new trend where Bean just no longer pays attention to the show.
It's not just me, by the way. It happens to Kevin. It happens to Allie.
It's happened to me a lot lately.
What?
What?
I'm not always listening. I'm sorry.
Oh. See? I see.
If you've gone crazy or something, I mean, if you've gone crazy, I'm just saying. That's something I need to know about.
Right? Yeah.
Okay? I mean, that affects me.
Right? We need to know. Right.
Give us a showbiz beat so riveting, so dynamic, so exciting that no one will tune out during it.
Like three wise men.
Tale as old as time.
Oh, not a come on with that.
True as it can be. Barely even friends. Then somebody bends unexpectedly. Beauty and the Beast.
Why do some people tune out?
They don't. They tune in. A lot of love, by the way, for Ralph! Exclamation point! The musical. Beauty and the Beast. Mm-hmm. Can't wait for this film. Emma Watson, Luke
Perry.
No, Evans.
Skywalker.
I want to say.
I think
Dan Stevens. This is great. Let me tell you how remarkable the folks, the powers that be at K-Rock are, okay?
Okay.
This is the sheet they give me to read for this contest.
Right.
Starring Emma Watson, Dan Stevens, Luke Stevens, and more. You know what?
I don't think they're both Stevens.
They're not both Stevens. And also...
Just make Emma Stevens then as well.
I should. A pair of passes available to the IMAX 2D advanced screening, again with the 2D. Is it 2D? Is it 3D? If it was 2D, they wouldn't have to put any numbers or letters, right?
If it's 2D, you don't identify it. Right. It's just a movie.
So we have to assume they meant 3D.
Yes.
Why is it so hard to get them just to write something that makes sense?
I can't answer that.
All right.
Luke Evans.
Luke Evans. That's what I thought. Then I'm reading down here, and it says Luke Stevens.
Yeah. It's not right.
No, it isn't. You're absolutely correct. It is not right.
Okay. Bean, you still there?
Hmm?
Yeah.
Anyway, I've got five pairs of passes to give away to K-Rock's exclusive IMAX 3D advanced screening of Beauty and the Beast. It's happening at the IMAX headquarters, which I've been to, and it's a beautiful place to see a movie. You will enjoy this.
Oh, that's right.
It's happening on March 15th, which is a couple days before the movies in theaters everywhere, on the 17th. If you'd like to go, give us a call right now, 1-800-520-1067. The first five callers through at that particular phone number, if you can hear Beer Mug with all those meatballs in his mouth, you can get a pair of tickets to the advanced screening.
Yummy.
Have you had any of those meatballs?
I have.
Yes.
Yeah. It's National Meat Dog Day.
What?
It's National Meatball Day. What did I say?
Meat dog?
Meat dog. I don't know what meatballs you're eating.
It needs to be a new thing, though. I just created a new food. That's how good I am.
Nobody's going to eat something called a meat dog.
Meatball Day.
By the way, this bulletin while Ralph regroups is apparently Beer Mug is eating meatballs, as many as he can, courtesy of our good friends at IKEA for National Meat Dog Day. Not yet. And he is powering those down on Facebook Live right now on the Kevin Bean Facebook page.
Right.
He's eating the chicken ones and the veggie ones.
When I left, he had 30. He had 30 now.
Oh, my God.
That was when I just left the office to come in here to this debacle. So I don't know how many more he's powered down since. But IKEA was kind enough to bring us their meatballs. They brought us Swedish and chicken and veggie meatballs and mashed potatoes and cream sauce and lingonberry jam. Yeah, we like the lingonberry jam.
Kevin was skeptical about the jam.
Oh, lingonberries are so good.
They said we put the jam on the meat dogs, and I was like, what are you talking about? Yeah. So I tried it, and it's amazing.
Yeah.
So thanks,
IKEA. Turns out they know what they're doing.
For National Meat Dog Day, for bringing us in those meatballs, we appreciate it.
Did that sound right to you coming out of your mouth, Kevin?
No.
You didn't even catch it. You didn't even hesitate.
What did I say?
I said, what? Meat dog?
I want to hear Allie's impression of me again.
What I said?
That's accurate.
That's a future, Kevin. You're looking a few years down the road, Allie, with that impression, but it's very close.
Thank you, Ralph.
How many meatballs do you think IKEA sells every year?
Oh.
Now, primarily, we think of IKEA as a furniture store, right?
Right.
Wouldn't you think of them for your bookcases and your nooks?
I would guess six.
Six meatballs a day, you're total. Guessing.
Is this globally?
This would be, I guess, globally, yeah.
A day.
Do you need the category explained further?
Listen, meat dog. I'm going to say 500,000 meatballs a day.
2.9 million meatballs every day.
A day!
Wow. That's a billion meatballs a year.
So many balls. It's a lot of balls.
And a lot of meat dogs.
Those poor meat dogs losing their balls.
Speaking of balls, fascinating new study about the consumption of adult erotic entertainment between men and women. This won't surprise you. The vast majority of pornography is consumed online.
Right.
And by men. Around a quarter of it consumed online, they say to be, is women. Which is a healthy chunk.
That's a good number.
Sure, right, a fourth. However, when it comes to watching porn on mobile phones, 72% of the people who watch it on phones are women.
Is that right?
So they're much more likely to watch adult content on their phone versus men, which I got you watching on laptops or desktops or whatever have you. But women like to watch it on the phone.
That's strange.
Isn't that something? A little tidbit for you there.
Why do you suppose that is, Ralph? Why do you suppose
I can't imagine. I don't think this study, this new report, has any real explanation either. Other than ladies are always on the phone, right, fellas? Who's with me? With
maybe.
Their yammering, right?
No.
With all their yammering on the phone? Yammer, right? Who's with me, fellas?
Do you think it's because men are so much more visually stimulated that they need a bigger picture? Like an actual screen?
Than, life size?
No. Then a woman would be more on the go. Hey, let me just dip into this bathroom.
Does that explain it for you?
Does that sound good coming out of your mouth?
That's
an explanation?
Spitballing.
Ladies are the goats and they have to masturbate on the run. Really? Is that what you're thinking?
Science.
We're very busy.
They're doing it on escalators and just running down the street, catching a cab, hailing it with one hand. Come on, Allie.
Listen.
Why you gotta be like that? All right, I'm going to get out of here. Father Kevin's good. Today's celebrity birthdays. Rapper Bow Wow is 30 years old today. He used to be Lil Bow Wow.
Right.
Now he's just Bow Wow. Eventually he'll be Bow, and then he'll be an elderly Wow. Brittany Snow is 31. Chingy's 37. I like the way you do that right there. Right there. Switching hips when you walk and let down your hair. Down your hair. I like the way you do that right there. Right there. Lick your lips when you talk and that make me stir. Make me stir. Oscar Isaac is 38 years old today. Very talented actor.
It's a good deal.
Shannon Leto, drummer for 30 Seconds to Mars, celebrates his 47th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, Ralph, on your drive home today, listen to a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We've got your tickets for Incubus and Jimmy Eat World. We've got comedian Taylor Williamson, who's playing April Foolishness, coming in studio. Very excited about that. We got the movie because it's Friday, and also a special guest that I'm booking. So that's all tomorrow morning.
Hold on a second.
No.
Tomorrow morning, you hold the F on
an all-new Kevin and Bean show.